Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The good wife.
Great wife.
Is that still on?
We're going to start.
Yeah. Hey.
One of the best shows on
Come
TV.
On, Oscar.
Start the show, hey!
Yeah.
All right, we're starting the show. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. I don't know, what was it? What?
Hi.
Hi. Rob just wanted to say hi.
We got a letter.
We get letters.
We do.
We have so many wonderful friends that are continue to be our friends. Yes. I really don't know why. to my friends at the Mike O'Mara Show, I heard about these delicious cupcakes on your podcast, thought you might like some. It still sounds weird on the microphone. That's maybe in my head. Yeah. But she brought 4 dozen cupcakes from Oakton Wine Shop, and that's from Cappy Pfeiffer.
Our Cappy!
Oh, yay! How nice.
Nice.
And will you care to make the announcement that you proclaimed to Brian when he dropped the cupcakes off?
About your destiny? That I'm destined to be a fat man.
Exactly.
For the rest of my life.
You walked 3 miles, you ate just a trifle of a breakfast today, almost nothing, a scrap of food, and yet cupcakes are brought to you, not by just dozens of them.
Fresh cupcakes.
Let me just say, I'll be talking about it later in the show, but I was at a function last night.
Yeah, you were.
A function with a great deal of humidity because we were on the water. Yeah. And I was talking to a very nice gentleman who I will mention a little bit later.
Okay.
And this was the sound of me.
A little sweaty.
A little moist.
Just nonstop.
Mike was glowing.
When the waterworks get turned on, I'm the kind. Yeah. This is the way I sweat. This is the way I perspire. Yeah. When it happens, it just doesn't stop. Do you remember Don and I had an appearance? It was years and years ago. It was a downstairs bar. And it was the only time in my life, and it was the dog days, of course. It might have been August. It was the only time in my life that I'd actually sweated through a sport coat.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh,
that's doing something.
Yeah.
That's really doing something.
That's some water.
Hi, everybody. Hey.
Fluids.
So
you had all the good gigs, though.
Yeah, down in the basement.
The basement bar in a sport horrible. Jacket.
It was horrible.
It's cooler down there.
Not as bad as when I was at WYRE in Annapolis and I had to do the tractor store.
Oh, that was bad.
The tractor store. Yeah, it was a tractor store with a guy with a bad attitude.
Perfect.
It's no good.
Perfect day all around.
But it was a baptism of fire being a baby DJ. Mm-hmm. I learned what it is for some clients to the way they treat disc jockeys.
Sure.
And halfway through, it was a 2-hour appearance. And halfway through the appearance, the owner with a bad attitude came over to me. And I wish I remember that. I'd mention it if I remember the joint because they might still be in business.
International Harvester?
No. The sales guy showed up, and he was like a Herb Tarlick sales guy.
Of course.
Like they all were back at small radio stations. And the sales guy came up and arrived late. I was there, and when the sales guy would arrive late, as you all know, being in the business, when the sales guy arrives late, you have to go in and meet everybody and you're the front man.
You become the front man.
And it's right. awkward.
It's absurd when they do that.
Because the fantasy...
What should you do with a guy like that?
Yeah, what could you
get rid of him?
Yeah, well, they
send him on his merry way. Yeah. That's what you do.
It was the same principle like when I was doing appearances when Mark Chronically Late wouldn't show up. But this guy, if you and the reason we don't want it is because we, I think, even on the lowest level of DJ-dom, we fantasize about the fact that we're really, like, important, and we're not.
Oh, we're holding on to showbiz by the tips of our fingernails.
But let us have our fantasy.
But let us pretend that we're
It is our fantasy, and one of the nice things about the fantasy is that you arrive at the track.
And you know what? Really, before you continue, you really should applaud the sales guy, despite his tardiness, for closing a deal with a tractor store.
You don't want, as we mentioned, the fantasy.
It really is.
At the tractor store, you don't want to be the guy that has to walk into the back room and say, "Hi, I'm so-and-so from the radio station."
Right. Oh.
You want to be the guy that just shows up in your car, puts your cool shades on, and then the sales guy goes, "Hey, this is Sammy McDammy, he's the manager of the tractor here's Mike."
You can't help but look embarrassed. Unless you showed up with something really fabulous, and you probably showed up with bad giveaways and a banner, and you had to hang your own banner, I'm guessing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's really the worst.
It's the worst.
The first thing that kills your feeling of stardom is showing up at a tractor store.
Well, but I mean, it's the bucks.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
It's the money that supplements
your... When you get
the
check, you feel like a star.
And now you're hanging the banner as well.
But the guy shows up late, and like a half an hour into it, I've got to do it. And 15 minutes after he shows up, then the manager comes out. Didn't want to have anything to do with me.
Fear.
I'm making phone calls back to the station. You've heard those on small radio stations, where you're like, "Well, it's a beautiful day out here. We got some incredible specials on Cub Cadets. You want to come down here right now for a limited amount of time?" And I'm out there.
Balloons for the kids.
The guy, the manager, who really didn't want to have anything to do with me, comes out. Just shakes the sales guy's hands. They're buddies. They're giving each other hugs and kisses.
Well,
they love each other. And he looks there, and this is really when I was questioning what kind of profession I was in. And he looks here. He goes, "You know, it'd be real good. Maybe if we have Mike ride around the parking lot on the tractor."
Oh,
and I'm like, you know, and I'm just going,
"Wouldn't that be good?"
I just said, "I'll stab you in the eye."
You know what would be
good? This is like an episode of Eastbound and Down.
It'd be great if Mike could pump gas.
I'm a baby DJ, but I knew the sales guy.
Like 21, 22?
I don't know. 80-something, 80, 79, 80. I don't
okay,
know.
So in your 20s.
80-ish. It was Annapolis, so it was 80 or 81.
Did they sell snowblowers?
That's funny. You just won't let it go. You just won't let it go. So I had the upper hand because this sales guy was kind of the affable sales guy that disc jockeys can kind of push around. I've been there long enough.
He was from the Merton mold.
He was the Merton mold, which meant I had the upper hand.
Sure.
And so the guy says, "Maybe Mike could ride around on the tractor." And I'm just going, "Oh, lick it, dude. I don't want to ride around like a child on the tractor in your lot, in your parking lot."
Not even a small part of you want Charlie? Just a little bit wanted
to? But my answer to him, this is before Charlie was born.
I know, but you were still Charlie.
This is what is it? Let me see. BC.
Before BC, Charlie.
Yeah.
So I say to the guy, even though I'm going, "Lick it, you douche. I don't want to do it." What I say to him is like, "Oh, I don't know about that.
I'm not sure anyone wants to see that.
We can get you one." And then he mumbles, goes back into his little office. And I say to the Earl Merton guy, I'm like, "There's no effing way I'm doing that." And it was not because I wouldn't have done it. If I liked the guy, if it was Jimmy Cerrito, I would have gone out onto the street and just gone, but because the guy had such a tune, I'm like, he did it like, you know, "Maybe you can do that."
Why do the buy if you don't want the talent there?
Right.
Precisely.
Right.
That's what I always thought.
I just got the name of the place. I'm not going to mention it.
Really?
Baldwin Service Center.
Yeah.
years ago.
You know what the best
statute of limitations.
Everyone's probably dead.
Best thing that I was ever asked to doing an appearance, and I think it was a Ralph Renzi production.
Oh, Ralph Renzi. He was a terrible sales guy, but a wonderful sales guy.
Yeah, very handsome. And I think he sold it that there would be live call-ins.
Right.
But of course, on WJFK, they started a tape at 8 p.m. on Friday night that played until Sunday evening.
Right.
So there was no opportunity to do a live call-in.
Mm-hmm.
He sold it. He had to finesse with a middleman. He actually said, "Rob, I need you to pick up a cell phone and pretend to call in so they think they're getting it."
Hopefully they don't have a radio.
"You have got to be kidding me." He said no. I had to go and say, "Hi, it's Rob, and I'm out here at Jordan Kitt's Pianos."
That's sleaze.
He was drippy.
He was a drippy one.
He was.
But the best, and I say a big shout out to my old friend Dave DiNardo.
Yes.
Because this might have been the first remote that I ever saw. I was not participating. I was just a baby DJ came out to see the other DJ.
You were supporting those back in the days when you felt like you should support your station.
And they had to wear maroon jackets.
Oh.
Sport coats with WOHN on him, and he was in the Kmart. The local Kmart.
That is fantastic.
Life is good. But you know what's better than all these meet and greets? And that's what we do now. And we've got a major announcement coming up as soon as we start the show.
You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
New card. What do you think?
Whoa. Very nice. Look at that.
Picked them up from the printers yesterday.
Good coloring.
That's bone. And the lettering is something called Sicilian Braille.
It's very cool, Bateman, but that's nothing. Look at this.
That is really nice.
Eggshell with Romalian type. What do you think?
Nice. Jesus. That is really super. How'd a nitwit like you get so tasteful?
I can't believe that Bryce prefers Van Patten's card to mine.
But wait. You ain't seen nothing yet. Raised lettering. Pale nimbus. White.
Impressive. Very nice.
Mm.
Look at that subtle off-white coloring. The tasteful thickness of it. Oh my God. It even has a watermark.
Something wrong? Patrick? You're sweating.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara. Buzz Burbank. Rob Spiewak. Oscar Santana. And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Hey, Paul! Take a look at my axe!
Live from the Cappy Flapper Studios, it's America's most beloved podcast, The Mike O'Mara Show. Downloaded more than 13 and a half million times and heard in 150 countries worldwide.
Worldwide?
You can call us, maybe. Anyway, our show today is brought to you by Spencer and Devon Shaving Cream. We're going to get to this. Rob had something happen before he used Spencer and Devon Shaving Cream.
What I did, Mike, is I cheated death. It's a miracle I'm even here today.
We'll talk about that today because I saw the back of your head yesterday before you discovered Spencer and Devon Shaving Cream.
Yes.
They use natural ingredients like aloe and shea butter, no harsh chemicals. Spencer and Devon Shaving Cream is good to your face. Whether you have a tough beard, sensitive skin, or both, got bumps?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Got bumps?
I don't, thank God.
You know what? Thank God you don't got the bumps.
Thank God.
Thank God.
No bumps for me.
I don't have any bumps anymore, thank God.
Get Spencer and Devon. Stop it, Mike. Spencer and I so want to say Devon.
No, I know you do.
Rhymes with seven.
Spencer and Devon Shaving Cream in a sagebrush or spice.
That's mine.
Or completely unscented.
That's what I got.
Like RJ. Read their story at SpencerDevon.com or click their ad on our website.
RJ, our engineer with no appreciable odor.
No odor from the day he was born. Spencer and Devon Shaving Cream. Smooth the savage blade.
Hey, you got bumps?
Oh, my God.
No bumps, thank
what
God.
What a morning. What a morning we've had. Yeah. It's been... No, it's not a morning. It's just we're in summer mode. We're in summer mode.
Yeah. Yes.
So we have a major discussion yesterday about scheduling for the show next week.
Right.
We're trying to make the show and work best for the listeners.
Buzz, Mike, Rob, Oscar, we just blow it off. We completely blow it off. And then Mark... who really doesn't blow it off, but he kind of still blows it off. Mark allegedly writes it down, but gets it completely wrong in the wrong week, and then tells Buzz. And it's like, we're trying to get all this arranged, but what it is, this is post-Memorial Day.
Yep,
we're going to have to be used to this, because we're all kind of going,
summer
mode.
This continues till Thanksgiving, or is it, is it Halloween?
No, this will be Labor Day.
Yeah, and then we'll get it back after Labor Day.
After Labor Day, we'll be fine. Yeah,
we'll be focused.
You know, and it's just
fine. I'll be missing the telethon.
When we were discussing, Mark and I were discussing the ride over the weekend, and I blow it off because I'm intellectually lazy and I don't even know the stops on my own ride. So I go to Mark, and Mark sends me...
You'll mostly be following the others.
Mark sends me text saying, we're going here, we're going here.
Uh-huh,
and
right.
If I was to explain what Mark's texts to me were over the weekend, this is the way it would have sounded.
Okay.
We're going here, and then we're going here. No, we're going here, and then we're going here. No, we're going to this place, then we're going here in this. No, I've got the towns mixed up. Here they are, and then yesterday it was, no, I mixed up the mix-up. We're actually going here and here.
Right. He mixed up the mix-up.
When you texted me, I realized I missed your text, so then I was frantically trying to get you the info, and I wasn't paying close enough attention.
There's so much we could learn from the singing group from, I think, the 1970s, Up With People. Do you remember them?
Yes, of course.
Up with people, you meet them wherever you go.
Exactly. That was their theme song. But they had another song that I think sums this up. You can't live crooked and think straight.
Yes.
Maybe that's what applies here.
So true, Mike. I love when Buzz quotes them.
It's getting a little hinky. We're leading up to the ride, and then after the ride, it's going to be our trip up to the Great Pine Tree State. And we're very, very excited about this. And, there's music.
Of course.
It's because we're going to spend at least a weekend or two.
In New England.
In New England.
Weekend in New England. We're starting off this trip with a meet and greet in Portland, Maine. We've been teasing about it. And for all of you that may be in Maine or around Maine or live in Maine, I hate promoting something with this music in the background.
This, you know what? It's funny you should say that, because this is going to really become a cornerstone of the promotion.
You're gonna grow to love it. No, it's not. No, you're gonna.
I got a song called Portland.
No, it doesn't matter. Now we have to stop everything because you have to find something.
Oh no!
Because it has to convey party and it has to convey good time.
That's funeral music.
That's not a funeral.
That is funeral music.
All right, hold on.
That is very.
You continue. I've got something.
Very depressing. And now, incidentally, the certain segment of people in the main audience are hanging on this,
waiting for you
because as soon as you do it, we'll make the big announcement. Mark will make the big announcement as to where we're going to be on July 14th.
Yeah, it's Bastille Day, Mike.
At 8 o'clock. Is it 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock at
Eastern
in Portland, Maine, as soon as we get the right music to sell this. Yes. I could not have lived with every time we were going to mention that from this time
it really would have gotten funny.
Would have been horrible.
I think it would have been
It's actually a horrible song.
It's a terrible song. Yeah. Really terrible.
It's about
super
New England.
Sad. Weekend in New England.
I think I got it.
How many New England songs are there?
Really? There should be more.
There should be.
There are lots of Boston songs.
You're going to like this one. Ready?
Get crazy, get wild, let's party. I'll deal with it.
Much better.
I like it.
Nothing says Maine
like LMFAO.
Like hip-hop.
Yeah. You know what? Oscar hasn't smiled that big since I've known him.
Awesome.
He's about to start fist pumping.
Just know this song has nothing to do with Maine.
I'm well aware.
Stop it again, and let someone start it again.
It has everything to do with having a good time.
Hello, Maine.
Get crazy, get wild, let's party.
This works for me. If you want to have fun, Portland, Maine.
Can we bring our big speakers up to Frenchman's Bay and play this song?
No. No. Well, you're bringing equipment up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they have a DJ area as
good. So we don't have to sweat that. RJ's going to be killing himself to get up there anyway. So here it is. We're coming to Portland, Maine. Saturday evening, July 14th. Very excited to make this big announcement. Take it away, Mark Ronick.
We will be headed to Binga's Stadium and Smokehouse and Sports Bar.
Binga's
Stadium. Yeah, B-I-N-G-A-S.
Binga's.
And Binga's was his name.
B-I-N-G-A. 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 And Binga was his name. Oh,
that would be located on 77 Free Street in Portland.
Hey, that's your favorite street.
That's why I picked it.
Not only do we now have the music
for
Portland, Maine, but I have a slogan.
What's that?
Yeah.
Binga, baby!
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, I got an idea.
It's a huge place. Hold on.
The slogan again into the song.
All right.
Go ahead.
Go.
Bingas, baby!
Get crazy, get wild.
What the hell kind of name is Binga?
You know, they are supposedly partners with Binga's Wings. It's called Binga's Wingas.
Not helping.
They are known for their wings, their buffalo wings.
Uh-huh. You know what? You've become the Riddler.
Known by whom?
Mark, don't slight Mark. He's been working on this for 11 months.
But the question was, what does Binga mean? And he just tells you that they're partnered.
I don't know what it means, but
every
maybe Maine
day
knows.
For like 7 weeks. How are we doing, Maine? I'm working on it with water.
Water.
Lots of water.
So how are the people at Binga's? Are they looking forward to meeting us?
They are looking forward to meeting us. They are familiar with the Mike O'Mara show. They know us. They remember you from your Don and Mike days as well.
Good.
So we're going to have a lot of friendly faces there. They're really looking forward to having us.
So is this within the Portland city limits?
It is. It is right in Portland, Maine. Like I said, 77 Free Street.
77 Free Street in Portland, Maine, 8 p.m. at Binga's Stadium.
Yep.
And it's a sports bar.
It's a sports bar. I believe it's two floors. It's huge. They've got, like, I don't know exactly how many, but they have TVs everywhere.
So we can watch sports games while we're there?
Yes, we can.
But more importantly, we're going to be there. Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Mark Ronick, RJ Diaz, everybody, the whole crew is going to be there. And Buzz is going to be with us up in Maine until his European trip.
That's right.
And we're looking forward to it.
I thought it was Brazil.
Where are you going?
First Brazil and then Europe.
Very good.
Brazil just for the wax.
But Buzz will be there, and I didn't know that until 5 minutes before the show started. So I'm very excited about this. And is your lady coming up to Maine for the following week?
She will come up, I think, on the Wednesday of that
week. My children are flying into Portland the day after. We're all going to do the road trip up to the place.
Cool.
And it's going to be great.
I'm putting my kids in care. They will not be joining us.
Your wife will be caring for them, I would hope.
Well, as much as she ever does.
To the extent she can.
But you know what, Mike? It sure is going to be fun when we get up there and we get crazy.
Bingos, baby! Let's party.
You're going to be screaming for Barry Manilow in about 20 minutes.
Bingus, 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 stadium.
Do this.
Bingus, bingus. Are they paying?
We'll see. I'm working that.
Because I'll tell you, I might do bingus, 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 bingus stadium.
They're hooking us up with a lot of good specials and everything.
I don't care. I want to meet the people in Portland. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course. No. I like the name of it. I love the whole thing.
Good.
I think it's perfect to just go bingus, bingus
on Free Street.
So, I will put up an event page on Facebook, and we'll link to it from our website.
We will be there from 8 till 10 on Saturday night.
100% chance we don't leave at 10.
I don't think so. I think so. Oscar and I will be there. We'll close.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Why wouldn't we be?
Yeah.
Because we love the listeners.
I'll be cool. I've got to pick the kids up. Got to have my wits about it.
Sure.
So I'll be doing that. And then it's so cool because I mentioned that we were going to have this announcement on the show. And then my cousin Ben O'Mara, who listens to the show up there and is a big fan of the show, the podcast, is communicating with me and reminding me about different places to go.
Hey, Mike, I want to remind you of some places you want to go.
My cousin doesn't have an Irish accent like that.
Are you sure?
It's really that's really, really insulting when you do that.
Maybe I was
little Irish redheaded leprechauns.
Maybe I was trying to do like a Maine accent.
No,
failed.
He's another generation. So
you're lucky I didn't go Italian, which is what I normally do.
I don't know what's wrong with you. I do not know what's wrong.
No,
but I know that I know you'll be having an old fashioned at Bingus.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get crazy.
They sell alcohol at Bingus, right?
Oh, yes, they do.
They have the coldest beer in town.
We're also working with the distributor to see what other kind of deals we can get for that.
And you know, now that we've announced the Maine trip, you realize the pressure is going to be ratcheted up with the Reno people.
Oh,
you
I know. Know that, who I are. Know. But we got to go in sequence here.
Calm the hell down.
One thing at a time.
We don't have Reno to worry about until October. So just calm your asses down. We'll make sure you have plenty of time, and we'll let you know, okay? But I just block off the month of October.
Are there direct flights from Reno to Haiti?
If that conflict happens, I'm going to inform him as soon as I get that. I should get that this week.
Okay.
So you'll know that, and we'll be cool
with
that.
We'll work around that.
Because after the trip, you'll have to set up the new bedroom for the child.
Will you stop? No.
You've got the space.
Don't hurt me.
A nice
and
crib.
The love.
On the program today,
little baby gate.
I will tell you about my evening of American history last night.
Nice.
Had a special, special evening last night. Rob's head. We're going to have to deal with Rob's head. Mm. I had no idea. Rob casually mentioned to me before the show yesterday that he had had a problem with his razor trying to shave his head. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I looked at the back of the massacre that was the back of Rob's head.
It really was
I realized
bad.
It was horrible.
It was like the movie Psycho.
We've made our big main announcement.
Mother?
We might talk about Wolf Blitzer and Donald Trump today because they had a wonderful skirmish, and it's every bit Trump being Trump, right?
Yeah. And Wolf being Wolf.
And you just can't challenge Trump. And, you know, I agree with George Will that I think Trump is a bloviating ignoramus.
Yes.
Just like that.
Would you like to hear George Will say that?
Yes,
I actually have that handy.
Please play that.
What voter is going to vote for him because he's seen with Donald Trump?
Oh, my God.
The cost of appearing with this bloviating ignoramus is obvious, it seems to me.
Obvious.
It's true. And then Trump says, I don't think he's smart. He came to Mar-a-Lago and he bombed. God. It's fun. It's fun, though. I really, really hope that Trump keeps bringing it because it's fun to do.
I don't think he can help himself but bring it.
Hatfield and McCoys, we might cover that today. Buzz
you
gave
should.
Me a stat about
you should.
The
That's kind of big.
It's very, very
you
big.
You called it on this.
Hatfields and McCoys drew a huge audience. The History Channel attracted a record-breaking audience for the premiere of its Hatfields and McCoys miniseries on Monday night. 13.9 million people. That might be a record for the History Channel,
it
right?
It is. Yeah, it is.
It made history.
Making it the most watched non-sports telecast in the history of basic cable. It's all about promoting.
And
broadcasting
they did it right.
is all about
they
promoting.
They did it right. They promoted
you know,
it right.
Really,
big
I,
actors
doesn't
as well.
This tell us really when you look back at radio and the WTOPs of this world that just go promo on all the different outlets, yeah.
yep.
all the TV right. stations. That's what does it. And they promoted this thing brilliantly.
Yes.
Everybody knew this show was going to be on, and I think that works. If you include the encore, more than 17 million people watched the premiere on Monday night. For comparison, The Bachelorette averaged 5.8 million viewers on Monday, while America's Got Talent pulled in 10 million. Mm-hmm. Hatfields and McCoys is airing in three parts. The second episode aired last night. It is so violent.
Where are
so,
they?
So deliciously violent.
Are they Kentuckians?
They're Kentuckians in West Virginia.
Is this a drama, fictionalized?
It's a comedy.
Is it a documentary?
Slapstick.
This is a docudrama.
Oh, okay.
I think this is based on some historical facts.
Any names in the cast?
Yeah, Hatfields and McCoys.
No, Kevin Costner.
Where have you been hiding?
I haven't seen the promos.
Hatfields and McCoy. Kevin Costner and Bill Paxton.
Ah.
Legendary Western
actors. By the way, Bill Paxton is the same guy as Bill Pullman. They've determined this.
Yes. I might have to work on a Bill Paxton because he's always like this.
Yeah.
Little, what are you going to do?
We got to find Titanic.
Hey, come on,
a little like Keanu.
We got to do it now, California. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
My landlady, when I lived in West Virginia, I went to WVU. She was a Hatfield.
Oh, really?
Yes.
There's
an old curmudgeon.
Was she really
kind
of?
Yeah.
The only.
That was late. Wasn't late.
Let's come back. We'll talk about Hatfields and McCoys. We'll talk about everything else there. And we got our Bingas announcement there.
Yes.
Yeah,
and very excited. Don't play it again. We'll take a break.
Come right back
on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Bingas, baby.
Welcome back to MichaelO'MaraShow.com. We are delighted to have you all with us today, and we are also delighted to welcome a new sponsor. We've been telling you about this, and you have been responding.
Yeah.
That is ScoreBig.com. I got it on my Facebook page, my home page.
And a new endorsement from a listener today, by the way.
Well, there's one on my page.
Oh,
I don't
good.
Know if we got the same one. Let me double check this here.
Oscar, this is the Beatles.
I thought it was
this the Jenny lady that had it?
No, so you must have an additional one.
This is so very very cool.
They're pouring in now.
ScoreBig.com is the website we've been telling you about where they take the unsold tickets mm-hmm. and offer them to you at below face value. And people are starting to go, I'm going to use the word bananas about this website. When I got on the phone with these fellas, 40% of the live event tickets go unsold. I had no idea.
No,
even
nobody did.
In some cases, when you're looking at a venue that is sold out, they've still got this inventory available, and you can go to ScoreBig, and you can get these deals. You know, they vary dramatically, but the fact is you can get some amazing opportunities to buy tickets for much less than you would normally have to buy them. Here's this lady, Jenny Crownover, and Jenny says, I just ordered San Francisco Giants tickets through ScoreBig.
Hmm.
I got 18 rows behind home plate for $40 each. And no fees.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I can't believe it. This is an absolute spontaneous woman popping this on my Facebook page. She says, buying all of my tickets through them from now on.
Oh, there you go.
I hope they stay a sponsor.
Cool.
We do, too.
That's terrific.
You guys have helped us with the people that work with ScoreBig because you have responded to this. So we urge you to do this. You get an extra $10 off your purchase if you go to ScoreBig.com. Click the radio button and enter TMOS. Always less than full price. Never any fees. ScoreBig.com. That's ScoreBig.com. They got tickets from the bottom level of the stadium, right off the field, all the way up to the rafters.
And remember, not just sporting events. You could go see musicians as well, like the Monkees, who Oscar thought that was.
Absolutely.
Oh. Sounds like him.
So anyway, ScoreBig.com. ScoreBig.com.
Right.
And we thank you for that. All right, getting back to the Hatfields and McCoys. The one rap that I have on it, do you remember that show American Holler?
Yeah.
Do you remember where they had the real? And we used to play the clip of that guy. So I took the butcher knife and I put it up to her neck.
That's Jesco, the dancing outlaw.
I would tell you that the only knock on this show is that they're too articulate.
And I've also
heard they're too. It's easy too to understand them. And
I've also heard they're too pretty.
They're pretty.
There's a lot of pretty people.
They're always pretty people. Yeah. And you're talking about. I mean, these people are to this day in that region of the country are more like. Yeah, don't want to go around town. And I think they could have made it a little more earthy, you know?
You've seen the first episode, and you've seen the second episode.
I saw the second one last night.
What's their deal? Why they hate each other so bad?
Do they even remember? I think they lost track, didn't
goes
they?
Back to the Civil War.
Right.
And if you
the
believe...
The War of Northern Aggression.
Look, when Buzz was saying, is it a documentary or is it accurate? I think it is plenty of artistic license taken, but a legitimate feud between two Appalachian families.
That's true. True story.
And if you believe the original... It's a very concrete and simple reason for the riff, and that is because the Hatfield, Kevin Costner's character, he deserted from the Confederate Army, and the Bill Paxton character, who was a McCoy, he stayed with his regiment, and they were wiped out. So if you believe that, that was the bone of that at the beginning, that's the bone of contention.
But generations later, they're just fighting to be fighting at this point, aren't they?
Well, because it's just like
I thought it was because they were mad because Hatfield made Waterworld. Is that it? Anything to
You know, I think that most of America is watching this television show, and you could be a little bit more respectful.
It was the postman, Rob.
It was the postman.
None of you homos are watching this show, so I understand that.
That is the
because
problem.
It's like feuding and all that
I'm at home bathing my dogs.
No, you're going to watch something. And then Marlena Dietrich came in.
She's hot. Very smart lady, Marlena Dietrich.
Wait, there's something with Marlena Dietrich on?
Yeah, right. So this show, it's good, but that's what I'm missing.
Okay.
Tom Berenger, remember him from Platoon?
Sure.
Where he was Sergeant Barnes and he had the carved up face. He's so authentic. And he's also the baddest ass of all of them. He wants to kill. He'll kill.
And he's got to be old enough where he's letting himself look, as you say, earthy.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
He looks so legit. There are moments when you see the legitimacy of this, but then there are the pretty people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's movie time. But it's a fun story. And they're popping each other right and left. Every
mostly,
5 minutes, somebody's
guns?
Killing somebody.
Mostly guns, or do they stab? I love a good stabbing.
Kevin Costner's brother. And I can't, you know, I'm
Jack
really.
Costner.
You have trouble following because, as Carla said to me last night, is that a Hatfield? Is that a McCoy?
Right.
Because it gets confusing.
They should have jerseys.
In the case of last night, watching it last night, you said, you know, are they stabbing? Are they stabbed, punched, and shot?
Oh, I like
that. Oh, wow.
And then, you know, it's crazy. It's for the birds.
I want to tell you about this. Well, this miniseries is bananas. Any laughs in it?
not really.
Yeah. I mean, no puns or wordplay?
No wordplay.
That's a shame.
So
maybe
you'd
in
hate
episode
it.
Three.
You'd hate it. It's just a bunch of fisticuffs.
The Bachelorette, in contrast, is horrible this year.
See, is that what you're watching?
I'm watching.
Any stabbing?
Am I working with Kelly Ripa here? I mean, seriously, what's going on here? Is anybody?
Same
this
breast
is
size.
A dude.
I just checked
your
in.
Other radio partner ought to be here for this discussion.
Yes.
I should be sitting here talking to Chad Dukes today.
Yes, you should.
Because Chad would be. Chad is
but
guns
he would know
in America.
Because he DVR'd it. It was too long for him. He says he's going to catch up on Blu-ray.
I will tell you that the second night in a row, I have lost consciousness prior to the end of the show.
He said it's too long.
It's,
you can't commit 2-3
no
hours,
alcohol.
Whatever it is.
That is long.
It's a long time, and it's very, as I said, they're pretty and they talk too good. That's it. What the hell?
That was me. That was a bonk. That was my bonk.
Are you DVRing it?
I DVR it. Yeah.
Slight change. Has anyone else gotten a message on their DVR that all the DVRs in your house can talk to each other now?
Yeah, but how does it work?
I don't know. And I find it mysterious.
Witchcraft.
I bet it's more money.
I had it for a while and had them rip it out. I didn't.
Oh,
it didn't work right.
They said They said it was authorized already. To go. And I know Carrie didn't say, because she doesn't spend money on anything.
You're supposed to stop whatever you're watching in one room and then pick it up at the same place in another room if you have that service.
But then I would go to the other room and I could get the program, but I'd have to start it from the beginning. I couldn't pick it up where
it
left off.
Are you talking about this most recent thing?
DirecTV? Yes.
Yeah. It's only
like just now?
But it started this week, I thought.
Just started. Are you talking about that one?
I haven't gotten any notice about that.
Okay, so you did it a long time ago.
So I had to name all of my DVRs.
Right.
So I could tell them
apart. Does it work now?
I haven't tried it yet.
Jabril.
I will. Yeah, Robert. They named one Jabril. Julia. And then there's Julia, the DVR that pretends to be another DVR.
So it's long.
Yeah, it's long.
So you you got to commit some time to it.
Yeah, but
it's
still
long, right?
And
sure.
The Bachelorette, as far as I'm concerned, I just checked in, and I got to tell you that that dog they put up as a Bachelorette. It's no fun watching her.
Really? You know she's a dog?
Oh, I don't
are you
know
watching
who doesn't.
That too?
Well, my wife watches
and she's
it, so
got
I
a
watch
kid
it
and it's
occasionally.
A whole thing.
Oh, seriously, why don't you shave your vagines?
No, I don't mind. I don't mind a single mom, but the girl is not attractive enough.
Oh, yeah, Mike. Apparently,
with
Mike
her
it's
issues.
It's become a whole thing.
I'm trying to watch a show about feuding.
That's right, stabbing.
Out in the Appalachian area in the West Virginia, Kentucky mountains, and you guys are talking about...
She looks like every... Mark is showing me a picture of her. She looks like every reality show contestant
I've
seen. Yeah.
Excuse me. That whore is airbrushed. Airbrushed.
Yeah.
Yeah, HD, baby. Yeah, you get up close.
Yeah, that's become a whole thing.
There's some pock marks.
Do you know what needs to be airbrushed?
What's that?
Bobo.
Yes, oh my God.
And I don't call you that very often, but I have to call you. Turn around and show everybody the back of your head.
I think it's gotten better.
All right.
But let's see.
Well, yesterday it had
blood. Well, the bleeding stopped.
Holy ass.
No, it hasn't gotten
it's better. Well, it can't have gotten any worse.
Oh. Turn around, let me see. Oh, my God, it's gross.
Did Carrie get into a cocaine psychosis and start chewing on the back of your neck?
Yeah, she thought she was cooking from the
inside.
That is friggin' nasty.
Still trying to figure out my path.
I'm so taken back by the back of his head.
Let your hair grow.
What are you doing?
I didn't want to.
How
let
deep
it grow.
Are the folds?
They are deep.
Can I tuck something into that?
No.
Actually,
I don't know. What do you have in mind?
All right, Rob has three creases at the back of his head, which a lot of guys
I think
do.
Like a pug.
What I think it is.
Looks like a face.
A Shar-Pei.
You know, I do think you all just flip and relax.
Oh, we're relaxed.
I think what's happened is with the weight loss, I've got extra head skin.
And like a dog.
Yeah, and I'll show you this. You think that's gross. This is really gross.
I just want to hear that
this
sentence
flips
again.
The kids here out, go. Then I can do this. Look. I can push my head up, and it looks the top of my head looks like a pan of brownies.
Yes.
It's just the worst. I'm not proud of it.
Are you having trouble rolling the razor over your...
I don't have the roller thing yet. Now, I've done research on the best way to shave your head. Now, I was going to see the Chinaman at $5.99 haircut, but I was having to do it every week.
Right.
Because at this length, just a little hair growth changes the way you look.
God forbid, $20 a month.
For personal grooming.
Look at my verticals. I can't afford $20. I went 3 years without a single haircut.
That is true.
So
probably painful.
So I went online and they make something that looks like a matchbox car that you put a Gillette Atra blade in and you just roll it over your head in stripes. Yeah, but who has $9 for that?
Exactly. So, we actually have tape of that. Would you like to
hear
please.
That?
Let's listen to that right now.
What you've got there, Mike, is the actual audio of me with a Gillette disposable blade and Barbasol shaving cream. We're really... After that attempt, and I took, you know, I took a hot shower.
You are the cheapest man I know.
No, there's a reason that wasn't, the Barbasol was cheap, but the reason I went to the disposable blade is people say because of the thickness and the texture of head hair, different than beard hair, if you go with something that has 3, 4, or 5 blades like they sell you now, it gets gummed up because there's not enough space.
I'm with you. Okay? I'm with you. I understand all that. And I will tell you also that when you've had long hair for a long time and you basically have not touched your scalp, you're going to get a little irritated when you shave it. That's going to happen.
Yes.
But my question is, even after all that,
I'm searching for technique.
You have a problem with these creases.
What I need to do is somehow stretch it
Turn around. Show us.
Or
turn around.
Just let
the
hair
camera.
Grow naturally.
It has to be tight.
That's a cut, isn't it? Isn't that a cut?
Oh, well, I mean, Mike, on Saturday,
just like the blood run down your neck when you're doing that?
I really, it looked like the shower scene in Psycho. It was horrible. I mean, and it's trickling. And, I mean, just little nicks everywhere.
Right.
And I like, oh, my God, I can't stop now. And the blades were so cheap that they were getting hung up. And, you know when you cut your face shaving and you feel it in the hand that holds the razor
and
before you feel it in your face?
Right.
I'm feeling that all over my head. Why? I'm like, oh, Jesus. And I've also, another problem is I've got a bump. And I've always had
everybody has bumps.
But this one bump is I can push it in and it comes back.
That's the soft spot.
That's my, what is that, the fontanelle? Is that what it's called?
I have it right about, hold on. I've got it right about here where I go, hold on, let me see if I can find it one
is
more
Is it
time.
Your on-off button?
Huh? No, but there is.
He has no off switch.
There is no off switch. That's right, buddy.
I think around the, right over here, there's a that I've got here. I want to I don't know.
It's really hard. I imagine it would be like trying to shave around a huge mole on your face, but on your face. Because when I roll a razor over it, I forget it. It's in a different plane.
So you cut yourself.
Yeah, I cut it.
And why? Can I ask this?
Yes.
You seem, when it comes to your hair,
yes.
You seem to be a man of extremes.
That's me, Mike.
You seem to...
Not just with my hair.
I mean, if my you politics, look at Oscar, you look at Buzz, you look at Mark, you look at RJ, we all have like kind
short
of a...
Short to normal length hair. Right.
Short to normal length hair. Right. Exactly. That's a very good way of describing it,
I
Buzz.
Had never had my hair so short as when you scalped me. And by the way, you made me bleed too. I don't know if it was the bump or just your shaky hands.
When we were on stage at the State Theater.
At the State Theater.
And it was not shaky hands, it was enthusiastic hands.
There was enthusiasm. Yeah,
too quick, too soon. Was hands,
thank God.
It was hands that were performing.
That's right.
And
jazz hands.
And I dug
performance
in.
Performance hands.
I dug into your, I swear to God, it was just insane the way I went. And it caught right on the side of your head. And that's what
and
made
if
bleed.
You actually go back and listen to the audio of the broadcast, you can actually hear Carrie cheering when you cut me.
I know this is visual, but can you make a smiley face with your roll?
He doesn't want to show it. Do you notice how he doesn't really want to show it? Take the headphones off and show our listeners.
There are three, to describe it, there are three creases in the back, and two look like eyes, and one looks like a mouth.
Yeah. Really? I
mean... No, don't turn around. Don't turn around now. Hold on a second. All right, here we go.
Oh, no, I'm not going to make a... You've got an eyeball here, an eyeball here, and then it's actually a sad face. But if I went like this, hold on. If I went like this, that's a happy face.
Oh yeah, that's all face. And the wounds look like nostrils.
The wounds look like nostrils. That's the quote today.
It looked like a happy face until you guys started talking about it. But what I have to do is I have to finalize my technique. And thank God we have this new shaving cream sponsor, Spencer and Devin, because it has given me...
Way to work the sponsor in. Good job. Mark
it
loves
has
you
given
for that.
Me, it has given me a new lease on shaving my head. It makes it so much easier. Of course, I have to be gentle because the other wounds are still healing. The Gillette Barbasol wounds.
Right. Well, can we get an update every day?
Yeah.
Can we get to see how your head's
the worst thing is when you scab up on your pillow.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. That's enough. Yeah. I've had enough.
It's hard to get up in the morning.
Throw up in my mouth time.
Just a little bit.
Got to cover this last night. A really, really wonderful evening. I want to thank Gary, my friend Gary, who owns the Sequoia, which is the presidential yacht, and they do functions on this. And last night, I'd mentioned this book. Can I mention this book to you fellows on the show?
We talked all about it. Yeah.
There's a book. I'll show you a picture of it right here, and I'll give them a plug right now because it's called Mrs. Kennedy and Me. There's a good chance that we can get the author on. Love to talk to him about the history.
Available at Amazon.
This gentleman is the special agent in the United States Secret Service who was assigned to Jackie Kennedy. And they turned out to have a wonderful friendship. When he first got this job in the Secret Service, you know, when you get the family and the wife in those days, it was, oh boy, you're not going to be on the president's detail. And everybody kind of hesitates when you get that.
When I've seen him interviewed and read a few things about the book, I pictured the relationship from, I think, the third season of 24. Do you remember the Secret Service guy that was like just a second skin to the First Lady?
Yeah.
Helped her with all the stuff. Of course, I don't think anything bad's going on with this guy and Mrs. Kennedy. You know, but they were so close, and it was a neat relationship.
It was a great
explored
relationship.
On 24,
I think,
yeah.
You know, if you go to the back of the book, you see a photograph that she gave to him in 1966. And it wrote for Clint Hill, "With memories and my gratitude forever. For all you did to make these years the best, the happiest ever for President Kennedy and for me." That's from Jacqueline Kennedy, and that's from Christmas of 1966.
He
of
seems
course,
like
three years after the president was assassinated.
Clint seems like a really good guy. All the interviews I've seen with him,
It was just an honor. I didn't get, you know, at a function like this, you're not going to get a lot of quality time. But they came up on deck where I was, and I didn't know anybody at this
Where
thing.
Is the
and
boat so, moored?
Down at the marina. It's called Gangplank Marina. It's down where the Odyssey is.
Okay,
where
of course.
All those cruise ships are down there that leave D.C. And it just was, I was like a stalker fan because I'd read the book. Right. And I got to talk to his co-author with the book because he wrote it with a lady named Lisa McCubbin, who couldn't have been more charming to me last night. And I was just having a real, follow-up to Memorial Day, thinking about the veterans, thinking about these guys that are duty, honor, country.
Sure.
And, at one point, he got a question from the group. They opened it up to the question. And when you read the book, if you read the book, you realize that he was tremendously banged up about the assassination.
Took sure.
it, really felt responsible for it, really thought he should have been between the bullets and the president of the United States. He's the man, if you see the Zapruder film, he's the agent that is jumping on the back of the car when Jackie's trying to jump on the back of the car. She was reaching for the skull.
And he was reaching for her,
It was horrible. He was right there. He was there the second it happened, and
right.
it affects you. And fact that he's been able to write this book, I think it's been very good for him, but it's still very obvious to me that this gentleman does not like to reflect on that. Well,
right.
There was a question from the group last night that immediately dealt with the assassination. And I kind of rolled within myself. I rolled my eyes going, this is the last thing this guy wants to be asked about, even after all these years.
Did you sense a feeling in the audience, for lack of a better word, that when that question was asked, a misstep had been made?
No, because I think when you go on a book tour like this, you probably are going to expect that to happen. Not everybody had read the book. In fact, a lot of people are saying, you read the book? I said, well, the book, I got the book on my Kindle. It's been out there. It's a little DC
too. Did you hear anybody that listened to the book? Because that's what I would have done.
Well, you would have listened to the book.
Yeah.
I was just surprised somebody said, you read the book? Uh-huh. It's like, I think they go on one of these things and you see these books all over the boat and you think, well, they're available now. Uh-huh. No, I read the book as soon as I knew I was going to go on this
cruise. It's been out for weeks.
And so he got this, and at the end, Lisa, the other author, was standing next to him. She put his hand, her hand on his shoulder, and I went, that's just not what he wants to talk about, obviously. So I just said, what I got taking away this book was a guy that had a very special charge, who was the first lady of the United States, was committed to his duty as a United States Secret Service agent. Forget what's gone on in the last month or so with the Secret Service. Right, this guy was dedicated and did his level best at every turn to protect his family. And I think he's one of these guys that sacrifices his life, his family life. He had a kid. He had a wife. Mm-hmm. And I said he's an American hero. And he got a nice round of applause.
Cool.
And I was glad to say that to him last night. So it was terrific. It was just a great. But this boat, the United States, the presidential yacht.
Yeah.
This guy, Gary Silversmith, who owns the Sequoia, he came into this yacht, and I'm not sure what the details are with it, but I think that they were liquidating a lot of assets for the United States government. And so now it's under private ownership, and he's a presidential history buff. You get on this boat, and you're sitting in the middle of history.
Yeah.
Every president since Hoover, I'm sitting there and I put my drink on the piano where Richard Nixon played God Bless America the night before he resigned. I mean, you're sitting there. This is where John F. Kennedy had his 46th birthday, his last birthday party. And Roosevelt was on there. Right. Churchill didn't like the deck chairs on this boat. And you're sitting there, and you're talking about living history. And this is just, it blew me. What was that?
They kept rearranging them.
Rearranging the deck chairs on the boat. Yeah. He actually, he said, I liked the Sequoia, but you have very uncomfortable deck chairs. And then he sent deck chairs to the Sequoia yacht, and they're inscribed because one of them was a Queen Elizabeth deck chair.
What
a dick.
So all these presidents, all this history.
It's everywhere. And it was cool to meet him, and it was like a perfect end, kind of the unofficial end of my Memorial Day weekend.
That was nice. Food and drink?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
That was bring your own.
We had hot dogs.
Oh, that's good.
It was terrific. So there's the book, and there's my little plug for it. And thank you to Gary Silversmith.
That was awesome.
And the good people at the Sequoia, and they couldn't have been nicer, and it was terrific. And the last thing I'll tell you about is during this get-together, I'm looking at this one guy, and everybody's had this experience where you're staring at one guy, and you're like, God, I know who that is.
Yeah.
I know that face. He's a TV reporter. No, he's not a TV reporter.
Hey, this is Eric Ronick from Black Gold.
Not Eric Ronick.
No?
That's he's a senator. No, he's not a senator. No, he's not a senator. I didn't know.
Is
that the ShamWow guy?
Vince. It's Vince the ShamWow guy.
I start talking to him at the end of the night, and as soon as I get a sentence out, I realize who he is.
Who?
He's the guy that for 17 years, retired last year, every time there's a presidential State of the Union, he's the sergeant at arms of the United States Capitol.
Mr. Speaker!
The President of the United States!
Oh, that is awesome.
Most recognizable guy. He said he gets it all the time. People think he's a million different people. He's about 75, 76 now. We had a great conversation.
You had a chance to engage him? I mean, what a cool
guy. I talked to him longer than I talked to anybody. Neat. And he just could not have been. He's an agent, too. Uh-huh. He was a Secret Service agent. And it's just a very, very cool. Patriotic people, and it was a cool night. Yeah, it was great.
Good for you, man.
And
that's
then
cool.
At the very end of the night, I took my shirt off and I dove off the bow of the Sequoia into the polluted water.
You were able to swim home, weren't you?
I swam home. We will take a break, come back with Rob's Magic Audio Vault right after this. Welcome back to MikeOMaraShow.com. It's time for Rob's Magic Audio Vault. And I know it's sponsored.
What is this we're listening to?
This is Gautier. Or Gautier. It's G-O-T-Y-E. It's a hot album right now.
Very cool.
It sounds a lot like Early Police. He's got a great voice.
I like it.
Yeah. Rob's Magic Audio Vault is brought to you by Mangrates.
Hey, Mangrates!
I'm glad I found it. Mangrates, this Father's Day, only one perfect gift. 100% made in America Mangrates. With these cast iron grilling grates, your dad can have steakhouse flavor at home with no flare-ups and no dry meat.
Hate it.
Plus, right now, a special $20 price for Mike O'Mara Show listeners. To get Mangrates for you or your dad, to get that special price, just click the banner ad at MikeOMaraShow.com. Did I leave something out of
that? Do you get anything with the Mangrate?
You know what? There's a brand that says the Mike O'Mara Show on the Mike O'Mara Show orders.
It's on the brush.
It's branded into the brush.
Oh, you got a brush with it.
Yeah, you got a brush with it.
I'm so glad that you brought up that brush, and I know we're pressed for time.
Yes.
But I just want to mention that I've incorporated it into my daily head shaving regimen.
It sure looks like it.
No, it's great.
Let's open up the audio vault for today. This is May 30, 2012. Go ahead.
We haven't done this in a while, but I think it's time to name the Mike O'Mara Show Taco Bell Customer of the Week.
Hello.
This guy, you know what makes him a great customer, Mike? He craves perfection.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, it's okay if you don't include one of my 99-cent tacos.
He doesn't settle.
No, he doesn't settle, and this is what happened.
23-year-old Michael Smith went loco. After berating the staff and getting his taco, Huber Heights Police Officer Brandon Suker says Smith took his anger up a notch, driving his vehicle into the front of the building and taking off.
Went bananas. Somebody normally drives through a business that's by accident, definitely not on purpose over a shortage of a food order.
Officers followed a trail of fluids from Smith's vehicle and arrested him at home.
He did state that he intentionally struck the building.
He drove and talk about a drive-through. Yeah, just because he got short at a taco.
That trail of fluids every time.
I can imagine. Last week I was behind a person that I was getting me a McFlurry.
Yes,
and one of my little confections.
Yeah. I bet there was a trail of fluid.
He's
after
got a
you
lot of confections. I think.
What's that?
Nothing.
Wow.
I didn't hear anything.
Every time you say something that you've had,
yes,
that's probably not on the diet that you're trying to stick to, you call it a confection.
Yes,
but if you have one like every other day, then it's not a confection. Well, it's something
it is a confection.
It is a confection.
Yeah, damn it!
You don't speak English.
Confection is really just candy.
I stand corrected.
You should stand
corrected. But for someone who has
But you were trying to bust my balls, and that was a noble effort, you incredible hump. All right.
Not bad for a second language, though. I think he does great most of the time.
He does really well.
And
his people produce wonderful coffee. But anyway,
let's move on. I was surprised.
So the confection, I was in back of this lady.
Yes, forgive me.
And I've never seen a slower transaction at the drive-thru. And it wasn't like there was an inordinate amount of food. It was, she has this, she's getting two ice cream cones. And she gets the ice cream cones.
I hope there was a passenger.
I couldn't see because the windows were tinted.
Nice.
And no, that's a she was a white woman.
Okay, good.
And so it's not like good. All the brothers have tinted windows, for God's sake. So she gets the ice cream cones.
Keep digging.
And this is what I see. This is what I see, sir. I'll do it on the camera. The ice cream cones get put in her hand, and you see this. You see.
She got the shakes.
The confusion.
No, she's talking.
Oh, she's using the gesture.
And you're seeing this. And I'm like, she's going.
You know,
like, what? What is, you know, normally you get a burger or something, you want some ketchup, you want some salt or something, whatever on your burger. What is the...
If you have two big soft serve cones, it's almost like the guy on the tarmac at the airport.
Flag signal.
Like this. Bring it in.
You know what that is at times? It's when people know each other or they're actually employees in the same place and someone has
not the first
the
time she's
off.
Bought a couple ice cream cones.
That's what happens.
Going nuts.
Yeah, that's horrible. That sucks.
I came that close to driving my vehicle right into the lobby.
Well, but you got your taco, thank God.
No, not my taco. I got my McFlurry.
The Costco in Manassas. You've talked about it a million times.
Yes, it's horrible.
And I went there on Saturday because I had to pick up a bunch of things that I don't have because I'm a single man. And
you went there. You went to Costco on Saturday.
Yeah, it was horrible.
That's hell. The worst day to go.
Yeah, what did you buy, like tortillas?
No. I didn't own a blender. I didn't own certain appliances that Shannon needs, so we had to pick those up.
Oh, time to get new appliances.
Oh, that's good because, you know, it's important. With... Well, you can't make a margarita without a decent first quality blender.
A blender is going to be imperative to mix those ingredients.
It's a little tequila and a little margarita mix.
Sometimes I like to jazz up my margaritas with add-ins.
How would you go about doing that, pray tell?
Well, get an extra ingredient and put it in, like, say, a piece of candy.
What type of candy?
Maybe Lifesavers.
That's a fabulous idea. How about Pepo-Mint?
Wintergreen.
Or traditional five flavor. Shannon in the morning.
Shannon. You haven't done that.
You guys just murdered it. That was awesome.
Thank you very much.
Done with my story. Continue. So, no.
Glad you got his blender, though. El Blender.
No, I'm walking out, and you know how they check your receipt.
Yeah.
So I'm used to that. No big deal. But usually people try to expedite that, and you go, okay, you're not a thief. We move forward.
Right. Did you get the wee man?
Oh, my God. I got the little guy.
How tall is he?
He's a wee man.
Is he? He's a dwarf.
I don't know. No, but it had nothing to do with him. Mm-hmm. He actually wanted to do his job and move this person along.
Right.
But this person had worked at the Costco as well.
Oh.
So they were catching up.
That's crap.
Catching up.
And it happens all the time.
And the guy kept looking back at me, and he was like mouthing, I'm sorry, basically. And this Yenta, she just kept talking and talking and talking.
Complimenting him on his jockey silks.
Yeah, we've been here for 2 hours. Get me the F out of here.
No regard for anybody else.
No.
Right. You know what? I had the absolute opposite. I went to Costco yesterday, and you know who checked my receipt? The general manager.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
It was awesome. I actually got to thank him for running the best Costco in town.
Was he a weeman?
The Leesburg.
No. Tall and strong.
The Leesburg Costco.
Is it the best Costco ever?
Oscar, you owe it to yourself just to go there one, just to
see.
It's
right by my house, but don't come by.
I can't even find the proper analogy for it.
It is well run.
You got mine, which is just, you know, seriously, it looks like Ellis Island in 1910. Right. You know, and then
with the vapors.
And then you've got this other one that's just a very tidy warehouse store. Just there's nothing out of place. Everything in the Manassas one is picked over.
And we have Sunny.
And one more thing. When people leave their carts at the corner of a big box store, a corner aisle, and you're at the end pallet right there, and you've got all these carts why would somebody just leave their cart there and walk
and
around?
And you know what's even worse than
no
that?
No regard for others.
The people that leave their carts when they go to buy their hot dog.
Yes.
And they're just unattended.
In the middle?
Right.
Yeah, everywhere. Right, the passage that everyone has to go through.
Let me ask this.
What about those jerks that are recording the lady that's hawking the little goodies in the back?
God. Well, what about the people that report on that jerk and make it really hard to get her anymore?
Stay away from the elderly in that situation.
Oh, God.
Because they will cut you down like a Hatfield
McCoy
bell. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They will cut you down. They would step over your bleeding corpse to do that. My question is, when you go to the food, now listen, this is a confection I have rarely done.
Okay.
I avoid the Costco food because really,
it's wonderful.
You get a hot dog or a piece of pizza that are both 17,000 calories.
But the hot dog comes with a drink, change back on $2. It's $1.50.
What is the average, really the average? Or maybe a better question would be the longest line you have ever seen at your Costco.
For checkout? Or
no, for the food line.
For the food line, it's probably about 15 deep. If you have it like a Christmas time.
And why do they not have express press lines. I was there yesterday. I had two boxes in my hand, just two small boxes I could hold like this, you know, easily. Didn't even need a cart. But there's you have to stand behind somebody with two carts who's buying 2 months worth of groceries.
Do you have self checkout at your Costco?
I don't think so.
No. We have that.
You don't have self checkout.
Of course, I'll never do it because I used to get paid to do that. So I, as a matter of principle, I'll never use self checkout.
You see, your Costco's light years.
We
ahead
have
of
four
mine.
Of them. Yeah.
And my answer to that is that Costco will occasionally do that when it's just balls to the wall crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But most of the time they don't, and they should.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Last night, this really shocked me. Piers Morgan had the night off. The guy that sat in for him was Regis. Hmm. And you know who his guest was?
Ooh.
Letterman.
Really?
Wow. I was shocked. Letterman never does interviews. And it was a very reflective, thoughtful Letterman, not goofy Letterman like you sometimes get on the Regis show.
Right.
These are a couple of neat tapes here. Here he is talking about, Letterman talks about his favorite guests on his own show.
Have you had a favorite guest over the years besides me?
No. We have several. You, Brian Williams, Tom Brokaw, Bill Murray, Tom Hanks, the people who really come and do a great job for us. I'm forgetting somebody that was just on. It was fantastic. But it's like a handful of people who are really, really strong, really, really good.
That's nice to hear that I'm included.
Oh, well, you would be at the top of the list, for God's sake.
You know that Brian Williams wants your job. You know,
Brian Williams can have my job.
You don't think he's going to do the news for the rest of his life,
no,
do you?
No, and he can have my job.
You know,
and it's serious Letterman, and you know,
but it's also what a talk show host wants. I mean, you know, it's the same thing. And you look at a guy like a Tom Hanks. He should have probably mentioned Nathan Lane.
Probably, you know, that might have been the guy that he forgot.
And Oprah.
What was
Oprah? Right.
What was great about that? That really is Regis going and doing the best. But you see the love between the two of them, and they goof on each other a lot. But there's a lot of that.
It's
going
a lot of love, Rob. But really, I know you take it seriously in the land of fantasy, land of television. But that is a weird ass relationship.
Oh yeah,
yes. That is
not saying that it isn't.
That is a relationship that's predicated on Letterman goofing on Regis.
And then another relationship they investigated is Letterman and Johnny Carson, which I thought was kind of neat because they just did that documentary on him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In those days, Johnny Carson meant the world. I mean, that was it.
Yes.
That was the Hall of Fame. You wanted that endorsement. You wanted that friendship because, A, if you didn't do well on the show, you were never coming back, and it was going to be a much harder road if you were not friendly with The Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. And B, to have Johnny Carson as a friend, oh, my God, that's a tremendous blessing. So I was always nervous about that.
And the last thing, he talked about the last time he actually spent time with Johnny Carson. Here's David Letterman once more.
Do you have a chance to tell him what he meant to you?
All the time. And the last time that I saw him, of course, the way life is, you don't know that that will be the last time, but it turned out to be the last time. And it couldn't have been a lovelier evening, and I cherish that because it was unusual. It was not going to happen under other circumstances, and it was my wife, myself, Johnny and his wife on Johnny's yacht that he had anchored in
like
the Hudson.
Like you, Mike.
And it was a Friday evening, and we sailed off just before sunset. And went up the Hudson, up under the George Washington Bridge, which is lovely. Turned around, now the sun is setting. We go out to the Statue of Liberty and see that at night as the sky is darkening. And then you turn around and we headed up the East River and you see the lower tip of Manhattan. And it was a sight and an experience like you never
he's so
you never
serious
get to see New
York. Very
right. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that wild? I mean, it's like it's not a Letterman you ever hear.
Yeah.
And it's weird because he's so infrequently on anything besides his own show.
Yeah.
And for him to step outside of that and be sincere.
He gets heavy on his own show once in a while. And
thought it was nice.
And if you get a chance to see a replay of American Masters from PBS.
I think it's still online.
They did a 2-hour documentary on Johnny Carson.
God, I got to see that.
Just fascinating.
I really want to
see
that.
Worth your time.
Do they deal with the thing several books have dealt with, which is the dark side of Johnny,
yes.
You know, where Johnny was not the warmest, wonderful man in the world.
They talked about his womanizing. Funny about my heroes. And they talked about his mom, who was at least to his face incredibly cruel to him throughout her life.
Really?
Yeah, and maybe a motivator in what he became.
You never know. That's interesting. I can't wait to see
dark
that.
Fella. Now you remember Tyler?
Oh, we got time for one or two more.
You remember Tyler?
Yes.
I don't like to go to the well too often of the child on anesthesia or coming out of anesthesia.
I love it.
But I love this kid. This kid has obviously broken his arm because he's got a cast on his arm from the wrist all the way up to the shoulder. Big orange cast. This is this kid coming out of anesthesia, and he talks like a frat boy. It's really addictive the way this kid talks. So we close with the anesthesia child.
I feel dizzy.
Dude.
Why do I feel dizzy? Dizzy. Stupid dizzy. I hate dizzy. Hey, dizzy medicine. Yeah. You know, right? I hate stupid dizzy medicine. So dizzy. Dizzy. Hey, Dizzy, where are you?
I'm right here.
Hi, Dizzy.
Hi, sweetheart.
Why is there two of you?
Oh, dear.
Just because of the medicine.
What? Hey, Dad.
What?
What's up? What's up, man? Hey, what's the big orange thing on my arm, man? It's heavy, you know?
Listen.
I just farted.
He just farted. Bless his heart. That is your magic audio vault, and I hope it didn't make you feel dizzy.
We'll take a break. Come back with Buzz's news right after this.
I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll get to Buzz's news in a second here. I wanted to share a message that I got from a lovely lady regarding the ride for the house that's coming up on June 9th, and we're excited about it. This comes to us from Shelly Zink, and Shelly writes, I've been strongly compelled by something to write you tonight. I'm a bit behind in my listening, but I was listening to episode 578 tonight on my drive home.
Oh, that was
in
a good one.
You talk about your visit to Fox 5 to promote Fisher House's ride. You immediately followed that by discussing flesh-eating bacteria. 5 years ago today, I received a phone call that my father-in-law and best friend was going to be taken off life support the following day. He was dying from a flesh-eating bacteria, an infection that had moved too far. My mother-in-law was staying at a Fisher House throughout this and received tremendous support from the only granddaughter, and received tremendous support from the people there. Your ride falls on my youngest daughter's birthday, the only granddaughter he ever got to meet. So like I said, something pushed me to make sure that you know how very much all of us who have been affected by what the Fisher House does appreciate what you're doing. Thanks for everything from Shelley. And Shelley, thank you very much for that. We have to mention it to you again, that the ride comes up on June 9th. It's just about a week and a half away. We're excited about it. The Poker Run 2012 starts at Patriot Heart Harley Davidson. Come by, even if you're not a biker, but we'd love all your bikers. And you can come out and register that day.
And Mike, there's now on our website and on Facebook, you can actually go and get the route. You can see exactly how you're going to go, print it out if you want, and bring it along with you.
Good
and
stuff.
We'll have copies there as
well. And then a great party at Jimmy's.
The best.
And it's going to be a great day. And let's just keep praying for good weather, because that's all about it.
Thank Make you sure much. You don't get dizzy.
Let's get right to it. Here he is, the man, Mr. Buzz Burbank. Take it away, Buzz.
Thank you, Mike. We're brought to you today by the Life-Saving Course at Northern Virginia Community College. 80% of all heart attacks happen at home. Your house, maybe? Do you know what to do? Don't you think you should? NVCC offers CPR and first aid training at campuses in Manassas, Loudoun, and Springfield. Please, for our sake, for their sake, this is very important, like them on Facebook.
Yes.
At NVCC AHA Training Center, or click their ad on our website. Northern Virginia Community College and American Heart Association Training Center. Take a class to save a life.
80% of heart attacks happen at home, which is why I get out as much as I can.
Amen, brother.
Usually in the morning.
I try.
6 a.m.
Try to do that.
Is this a sign things are getting better? New figures show there are fewer people drawing government assistance for the first time since the recession technically ended 3 years ago. We expect some of this as people are dropped off the unemployment payroll, but fewer people are drawing welfare checks and food stamps. Experts say this appears to mean that poverty in this country, after a steep climb, is starting to drift back down.
And I think what the thing about all of it is appears to be. The problem is there are a lot of people that aren't feeling it. And there are a lot of people that don't believe in it. And there are a lot of people that don't think that the recovery is happening. And it's because they're still struggling. And
yes, many people are.
So, you know, that's the big question. I mean, if it, I.
But it is encouraging that fewer people are drawing food stamps and welfare checks now.
It's encouraging to the people, I think, that want to get the president reelected. It's not necessarily relevant to the great people that don't have a dog in the fight. I think what you deal with here is you're dealing with a situation that, unless we have some real concrete dramatic change in this recovery, it's going to be anybody's game. I predicted that Romney's going to win if things don't get better. Mm-hmm. I still maintain that because I'm out there all the time talking to them, especially with Rolling Thunder, and you're getting these people that just, you know, everybody wants to do a little bit better. I love hearing those statistics. Mm-hmm. I was saying to somebody last night on the Sequoia, I wish we'd have something a little bit more dramatic.
We all do.
To wrap our heads around, because I really like, you know, I like this president. I just wish I wish something special would happen.
I know that a lot of people on the Sequoia, very few of them are drawing food stamps.
No.
A lot of people there doing okay there.
I think they were. But I you know, Rob, on that boat, it was a bunch of journalists. It was just a bunch of different people.
Tom Shales
from,
there?
But there were a couple of people. I hate it when I recognize somebody.
Stop it, bud.
And are you just hung up because I was on the presidential yacht?
Yes. He's jealous.
Very cool. Jealousy. He can't put his head around the fact that this was a book promotion. Yeah. That's all this was. This was not the elite. This was a guy
of the history. He wants to be there for the
You know
history.
What? The whole thing smelled black and white. I wanted to be there.
It sure was black and white.
And so it came to pass that the Republican candidate for president was endorsed by and financed to some degree by a blustering billionaire who thinks Obama might have been born in Kenya.
Douche.
Mitt Romney stood alongside Donald Trump yesterday in Las Vegas, even as Trump revived his questioning of Obama's citizenship.
He won't give it up.
When the White House earlier this year released Obama's official long-form birth certificate from Hawaii, Trump said he was honored to have been responsible for bringing that truth to the forefront. Now he says he's again not so sure.
Well, he's forgetful.
He says people on the street keep telling him to pursue the matter. He won't name names, but it led to Trump and CNN's Wolf Blitzer calling each other ridiculous yesterday.
Donald, you're beginning to sound a little ridiculous. I have to tell you.
No, I think you are, Wolf. Let me tell you something. I think you sound ridiculous, and if you'd ask me a question and let me answer it...
Here's the question. Did the conspiracy start in 1961 when the Honolulu Star Bulletin and the Honolulu Advertiser contemporaneously published announcements that he was born in Hawaii?
You know, here's what's
contemporaneously
great.
Contemporaneously is a great word.
Contemporaneously is a word, and I guarantee you Trump kind of went, what?
Not with his words.
What does that mean? Is that word great? Is it strong?
This was a lovely little cage match, and I give the nod to Blitzer. Blitzer was composed. Uh-huh. He smiled a couple of times, and he had the tape to back it up.
Yeah.
What they did was they treated Donald Trump like they would treat any politician.
And it's about time somebody did.
Because they go back and they show him when he's on with Meredith Vieira, and he said, I've got people looking into the birther issue and looking into this birth certificate. And they can't believe what they found.
Right.
They can't believe. So he calls him on that.
Right.
And then Trump says, well, that's old news.
Well, of course.
So he's lying about the what Trump does is, you know, the word bloviate. He bloviates and he says they can't believe. He doesn't think
he doesn't know.
Nobody's told him anything that they can't believe what they found.
Right.
He's doing that to make the splash, thinking he's not going to get caught. And the problem is now he's getting caught. And when Mitt Romney legitimizes him by going to this fundraiser,
accepting his money,
you know, then he goes on and it's just. I think it's the most fun I've had watching a TV news program. And Blitzer looked like he was having as much fun as I was watching.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. But,
and from now on, whenever we have an argument, I'm just going to say, that's old news.
Old news.
Old news.
Ultimately, of course, as the evening progresses, Trump hands Romney a check for $2 million for the fundraising they did on that particular night. So you're thinking, well, what does Mitt Romney have to say? How does he feel about all this now that he has that check in his hand? He says, I need to get 50.1% or more, and I'm appreciative to have the help. I need to get to 50.1% or more.
Is he talking about the election?
Yes. So what he's saying is it doesn't really matter what Trump thinks as long as I get elected.
Wow. That's
ultimately
weird. You know, maybe you're going to see some stuff like this. Now, remember I predicted it was going to be Mitt Romney if something bad didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I think there is a chance that maybe Mitt might step on it and
Trump could step on it for him.
Trump
still wants to be the running mate.
Yeah, but you know who's smart, really, in his own little way, in his own Weasley way?
RJ?
Well, but him too.
Yes.
Newt Gingrich.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Hiding in the shadows.
Who said, and Newt Gingrich, they asked Newt Gingrich about this. Uh-huh. And you talk about a guy that's a skilled politician, a guy that's been
lifetime
in the trenches.
Lifetime.
And I think the quote was, I hope I don't get it wrong, the quote from Newt Gingrich was, I believe he is a president who was born in America that's killing jobs.
That's what he said.
Right. That's perfect.
Killing jobs in America.
That's what he does.
That's what a Republican should be saying.
But you got Romney out there bringing Trump up, and Trump is a Doomcroft. I mean, he really is.
Not too bright.
Yeah. He's like, well, your ratings, Wolf, have shown that. That's what he's all about.
Well, yeah, he loves that.
That's what he digs.
Romney, that's really not much above saying, well, I make more money than
that's
you.
That's exactly
that's
what
essentially
it was.
What he's doing.
Right. When given the opportunity to do so by a reporter, Romney refused to condemn Trump's rantings.
Yeah, he won't because he's on the dais with him.
Radioactive tuna from Japan are showing up in the fishing waters off the California coast.
There are the fish.
That is actually the recording of a tuna.
Yeah.
The sandwich, it grows.
These tuna, the type most commonly used for sushi, are contaminated with a type of radioactive debris typical of a nuclear accident like Fukushima.
That's almost pizza.
And although these radiation levels are 10 times what you'd normally find in nature, they are still, not surprisingly, I guess, within the U.S. government safety guidelines. So it's your call.
And my teeth have never been whiter.
Experts say what's alarming is that the tuna traveled so far so fast.
Wow.
The FDA, meanwhile, is warning consumers about...
They're superpowers.
Yeah, superpowers.
That's exactly
They can see through steel and lift 10 times their own weight.
Hey, where'd that tuna go?
There it goes.
They can swim in the dark. The FDA, meanwhile...
Sorry, Charlie.
...is warning consumers... The FDA is warning consumers about a counterfeit version of the attention deficit drug. Hey, look, bunnies. Apparently, a lot of people have been buying counterfeit versions of Adderall on the internet.
I bought mine at Adderall.ru.
And instead of being an orangey, peachy color with the letters DP on one side and the numeral 30 on the other, these are white pills with no numbers or no letters, these counterfeit pills.
Those great with tuna.
Usually, the counterfeits contain acetaminophen and a painkiller called Tramadol.
What is the people that don't need Adderall, what do they take it for? What is the benefit
ADHD,
of it?
Study.
Right?
I mean, the people who take it by prescription, it's for hyperactivity. ADHD and also narcolepsy, but students have been taking it wildly because it helps them study, it helps them focus and concentrate.
Right. Wow. And cram through a term paper.
Exactly, and cram
for
a
test. I also know
that
there are women out there that will take it because it also will, your appetite diminishes because of the pill. It's like
really?
A side effect, and some women take it to try to lose weight.
Mike?
How about they jump on a treadmill?
Mike is in.
Yeah.
Mike! Can you rephrase that?
The reason so many people turn to counterfeits is a shortage of Adderall because of a shortage of ingredients to make it. Congress is trying to address those shortages even as we speak right
now. It's made out of non-radioactive tuna.
I hate Adderall. I like the one with the other letter, anusol.
Oh, that's a good one. You know what? Don't you think they pronounced it wrong?
Yes, it should have been anus.
Anusol.
I don't like the burning, but I don't mind the itching.
Or the old anus.
The world continues to do almost nothing. The world continues to do nothing about the massacres in Syria, one of the latest killing 49 innocent children. For what it's worth, 11 countries have expelled Syrian diplomats. Gosh, there's even talk of keeping Syria out of the Olympics.
I know people are going to disagree, but here you go, Buzz. Mm-hmm. As a Democrat, when I'm talking about the president, and yes, I believe he has a significant list of accomplishments during his administration. Mm-hmm. But goddamn it, this is one where I say screw it all. I'm sorry, this is when you do go in. This is when you help people out. There are children's bodies lying on the street there. This is when you work to get this done. I realize you say, oh, we've been involved in enough. No, we've been involved in one that we never should have been involved
in
to start with. You know, yes, he was a bad guy. This is just the summary executions of children. This is going on in our world.
Am I mistaken? But the UN Security Council that Russia and China back Syria.
Yeah, back Syria.
Right.
And
so you can't.
And it was that's why they compromised with the Kofi Annan peace plan.
Yeah.
It was just a pile of crap. It's really, it's just amazing, you know, and it also speaks to the fact that Russia and China are still our goddamn enemies.
We would have to get involved unilaterally by ourselves, essentially, because the United Nations cannot act because Russia and China are standing in the way.
It's such a tragedy, but at the same time, when you hear about this day in, day out, and because of this circumstance where you've got these superpowers that are kind of staring each other down, the people of Syria are being massacred, literally.
Can I get a hallelujah? It's legal in West Virginia to handle snakes during a church service, and a poison center in Bluefield, West Virginia, says it sees quite a few church bites every year. After all, Jesus says in the Gospel of St. Mark that the baptized and the saved, quote, shall take up serpents.
I think snakes. That's a delicious snack. Church bites.
Church bites.
Mm-hmm. I'd like some church bites.
What?
You want some church bites?
Church bites.
Delicious.
And finally, thank you, Florida, for putting 50 Shades of Grey back on the library shelves in Brevard County. Public libraries in several states, actually, have banned the book, saying it's poorly written and naughty. And the ultimate senior prank this year comes from Denmark, where somebody spliced hidden camera video of a male student having sex with a woman into a video presentation shown to 450 people at a graduation ceremony.
That's terrific. Wow.
The school says it won't press charges, saying the only people who were really violated were in the video. Well, one of them was.
Oh.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you, Buzz. Thank you all for listening today. Hope you enjoyed the show. Well, our show is brought to you by Spencer and Devin Shaving Cream. Spencer and Devin uses natural ingredients like aloe and shea butter. No harsh chemicals. Spencer and Devin Shaving Cream is good to your face. Whether you have a tough beard, sensitive skin, or both got bumps, they can take care of that too. In sagebrush or spice or completely unscented, read their story at SpencerDevin.com and click their ad on our website. Spencer and Devin Shaving Cream. Smooth the savage blade. And we'll be back with another brand new one tomorrow. Have a little program note also. I will be on WBAL tomorrow night, Thursday night, from 9 to midnight.
Perfect.
Yeah. What the hell am I going to talk about?
Some of the things we discussed here, perhaps.
Okay,
talk about Spencer Devin.
There you go. Thank you. I'll talk about your head.
Your bleeding head.
Send up a photo.
Bye-bye, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Dizzy!
Ciao, ciao.